Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, what's going on, faithful? I can promise you this. There is nobody happier than myself in recording today with the signing of Alfred Collins. I'm here with the man, Ant. How are we doing today? Are vibes like off the charts?
Oh, super pumped. You know, it's crazy because I think it was just last week that I was like, he ain't signing until training camp starts. And then all of a sudden, he's the one that kind of breaks free and gets a deal done. It kind of starts the momentum. And I didn't think it was going to happen. So I'm so glad that it happened, though. And it just makes me remember back to draft night when you were saying, you know, hey, they're gonna draft Alfred Collins. And you were 100% right. And I'm totally on board with this pick. I love Alfred Collins for this 49ers defense. And I'm excited to be able to talk about it today.
I almost wore my brand new Longhorn hat. I had it, and I was like, nah, I don't need to do that. But almost had it on, but that's okay. I'm rocking the SF with the British logo flag behind it. Logo. Countries don't have logos. They have flags. that's why we're a sports podcast. But, man, I'm so pumped. And so lots of credit has to go out. So here are the details. A four-year, $10.3 million contract, $9 million fully guaranteed, which comes out to 88%. So here's the biggest thing for me. I have to give so much credit to, one, the 49ers, but mainly Alfred Collins. This was, you know, you only had two of 32 picks signed, and there were about nine dominoes, is the reference I used, that had to get their deals done before Alfred Collins. And by him signing this, I can guarantee you there are agents and other players out there that were probably a little upset with him. Now, the flip side of that argument is, man, he got a 10% jump in guaranteed money over what the last number 43 overall pick got last year. So if we go back to the 2024 draft, the Cardinals had that pick, and he got 78% fully guaranteed. Now you do a 10% jump all the way to Alfred Collins. That's a bigger jump for the number 43 pick that has happened in 4 years combined. So it's not like, you know, he sacrificed a lot of money, but he went out on an island and basically said, I don't want to miss camp. So for all those that have been like, dude, it's about him, he's got to care about the team, this dude cared about the team more than almost than 29 of, you know, 30 second round picks. He cared about the team more than all of them. And I would hate if we go through this conversation, and majority of the show is going to be about Alfred Collins. We're going to talk some other rookies, some other stuff going on. But like, this dude did not want to miss. He could have missed. He could have kept holding out. But he kind of crossed the picket line, so to speak, and got this deal done. And for the people that were upset at him, you have to understand, this dude went against so many people, players, agents to be part of this team and to not miss time.
Yeah, you know, and you got to give him credit for doing so. And it started getting the ball rolling because now, you know, Shamar Turner has signed a new contract, another second round pick. So this is going to start answering questions for a lot of these teams. And the truth is, his agent probably did a very solid. He probably figured out that the teams in front of him were not going to give fully guaranteed contracts. So he played it out, got 10% more. You got to give him credit for getting 10% more. 88% of your contract guaranteed of $10.1 million, that's still a pretty good number. But I love Alfred Collins setting the tone for that he's going to be one of those players the 49ers can depend on. And I think he went a long ways of taking care of himself, taking care of, you know, the people that were drafted in the second round, but also taking care of the 49ers organization because they're counting on him. They're counting on him and C.J. West to change that defensive line, and he needed to be out there on the field, and now he can. I think it also, John, might answer some of the questions people have about, is he healthy? If he's not healthy, there was no reason for him to rush this. He could have waited. He could have played this thing out and waited to see if he could have got a couple extra dollars guaranteed. But instead, he's ready to get out there. And I think that might give us a little bit of a sign of how Alfred Collins is feeling. And I'm excited that now he's going to get to acclimate during the rookie part of training camp before next week when all the veterans report.
It's huge, man. And Tommy, he says, can this guy stay healthy? Well, in 5 years at Texas, he played in 64 out of 65 games. And the only time he missed a game wasn't because of an injury. It was because he was his redshirt rookie or freshman year, and he just wasn't activated for that game. So in five seasons, this dude missed zero games because of injury in the Big 12 and the SEC. So if health and durability is a concern, this guy is a 10 out of 10. Now, I know somebody in here is going to be like, oh, well, he had a boot on his leg. It was a calf strain. And, you know, whether or not he didn't participate in minicamp because of the calf strain or because of the contract, that is now irrelevant, and hope to have him out there. And really, like, yeah, I want him to get some reps this week. I care that he is ready to go next Wednesday. Whenever everybody reports, yeah, obviously you want some stuff this week. And I like how you alluded to, man, if there was still an issue, why would he be the first one to jump across the line and get the deal done? Yeah, I'm not overly concerned with his health and not concerned with the strained calf too much. Could rear its ugly head again as somebody who has strained their calf probably 15 times in their life. But I'm not a professional athlete, contrary to popular belief, Ant. That is... You know, take that for what you will. Now, I want to talk about Alfred Collins, the player. You know, I on a show recently with Larry Kruger, we were like, newest additions, who is the biggest impact? Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact this year? I said Alfred Collins, and that's kind of true to, you know, we're doing the roster countdown and all this. Spoiler alert, Alfred Collins is the highest rated rookie on our entire 90-man roster countdown. I have him at 11. The 11th largest impact for the 2025 season. What are your thoughts on Alfred Collins and just his impact this immediate season? Not necessarily the 4 years that he signed for, but 2025 and 2025 alone.
Yeah, and you know, now that it's been a little bit of time, I can talk about what I had posted on Patreon, that I do believe Alfred Collins is going to be the number one impact player from the rookie class for the 49ers. I think it's, you know, him and Mikel Williams up there that are going to make a huge impact. But I think Alfred Collins' impact can be felt right away, especially on early downs. Even if he never rushes the passer consistently his rookie season, just stopping the run is going to make a huge impact on this team, because the 49ers faced more third and one, third and two, third and threes last year than I think I've seen them face in almost any season since Robert Saleh got to San Francisco. It was just consistent. That's why they knew they needed to focus on stopping the run game, and Alfred Collins is going to be able to do that. This dude not just takes on double teams. This dude wins against triple teams sometimes. The guy's ridiculous when it comes to shedding and making plays in the backfield, and I think he's going to get let loose a little bit in this Chris Kocurek-type wide nine that's going to allow him to be more aggressive and do things that he didn't do at Texas. So I do think it's going to open some doors for him to rush the passer a little bit. So I'm expecting him to make a huge impact. I'm expecting him to be on the field right away, and I think he's going to get things done for the 49ers. I think fans are really going to start loving Alfred Collins by, I don't know, the first time that he gets out there and gets past a guard and absolutely kills a running back a yard deep in the backfield, which will probably happen in the preseason.
Oh, I'm so pumped. And so I've spent this morning, like, usually I wake up and I'm just like, man, cranking out those roster countdown videos. They're kicking my butt right now. but I just, this morning, I was a fan, and this morning I just went to tape, and I just started watching Texas tape, which, one, I love that anyway, and I was just like, oh my gosh, man, how good this dude is, how good this dude is. And shout out to my man Mike. He says, shoot, our main defensive tackle upgrade, do a whole show on him, biggest player upgrade over last season. Might not be wrong there. Talk about the deficiency last year. Defensive tackle position was horrid. It was so bad. So what are they getting in Alfred Collins? Let's just go through his measurables, which this is, you're talking Eric Armstead-esque size, maybe a little bit bigger. 6'5 and 5'8". That's top 94th percentile of defensive tackles. 332 pounds. That's top 92 percentile. 85-inch wingspan. Longer arms than LeBron James. That does not compute in my brain bucket head. I mean, dude just is a freak. And so the size, the strength, the attitude, the motor, all of those things come across. And, you know, Ant, you know, we were doing the 40 hours cutback and 40 hours rush, you know, draft of it, which was so cool. And you were high on Alfred Collins. I think I was a little bit higher. What? So talk to me just a little bit about when you were going through the tape. What were the things that stood out to you as, man, this translates, I could see this, this fits what the 49ers do? What were some of the things that stood out to you?
He's going to be the guy that stops duo blocks, right? That has been one of the problems for the 49ers, especially over the last couple of years, is they've been getting a vertical push, and a lot of times those defensive tackles are getting rode right back into linebackers. Poor Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, those guys were having to deal with having people in their face all the time. And they were creating a huge push up the middle against guys, especially once Eric Armstead left. The guys like Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, they just couldn't hold up. What you're going to get is a change. That's going to stop because Alfred Collins can take on those guys and hold his ground. He anchors extremely well. But not just does he anchor, it's not just about holding his ground, but he also wins. That's one of the keys. He's able to get rid of guys, disengage, and make plays at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. And you brought up the length, and that's one of the key elements. He's able to get some separation between him and the offensive lineman, which allows him to be able to shed and get the make those plays. But athleticism at that size is the unique thing that I love about him. He can run downhill. There's a lot of guys who, yeah, they're big defensive tackles, and they can take on the two, you know, the double team or the duo block, and they can hold their ground. But then when it comes to the zone play that goes down the line of scrimmage, they can't run with it. He can do that. So this dude is kind of the perfect match when it comes to stopping the run in the NFL. And I think he has extreme pass rush upside. The length, the ability to bat the ball down, something he did great at Texas. All those things are going to play really well for him as he develops as a pass rusher. I think he's a great fit for what they were looking for. And ultimately, in the second round, I think he's got some versatility. I think he can play the three tech, which I wasn't sure I was sold on going into the draft, but the more I've kind of looked at how they're evaluating, I think he can play three tech as well.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Man, he had 150 snaps outside the tackle last year, alignment-wise. He had 440-plus snaps in that four-eye kind of, you know, Texas does a lot of four-eye stack five right on top of the tackle. We're just talking alignment here. So outside is when you line up basically as a defensive end outside shade of the tackle on the outside gap, that four-eye to five-head-up shade on the tackle, that's kind of the end position. And then 900, the majority of his snaps were at three-tech. He only had 140 snaps in that A-gap. So, like, he's bounced around. Like, the versatility for him, Texas did a lot of that with Pete Kwiatkowski there, DC, where they'll put – it would be third and six. They put him at a defensive end. It kind of move him around. And so, like, the versatility that is there, I think that's one of the things that's huge. And look, the player comp, whenever you look at the measurables, okay, I've shared this story before. I was at the draft in Chicago. I forget which one it was. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm drinking too many beers, having the time of my life. I wasn't broadcast. I was just there. We were sitting about 12 rows back from the stage. It was awesome. It was incredible. And I go to the bathroom, and I'm on my phone on Twitter. I wash my hands, just so everybody knows. And I go back to my seat, and I run into a brick wall. I'm not even joking. I run into a brick wall. I look up. It's not a brick wall. It's Chris Jones. I ran into Chris Jones right after he got drafted, physically bumped into him like an idiot. I'm like, oh, my bad. Hey, congrats. I knew who he was. I was like, oh, congrats, man. He was with his family, whatever else, after he just got off stage. It's one of the biggest human beings I've ever met. Well, you look at Chris Jones, and it's like, good Lord, he is Alfred Collins. Now, is he the same player and all that kind of stuff? That's a different question. But whenever you look at Chris Jones, and it's like, okay, he's 6'5 and 3/8, 310 degrees. Like, Alfred Collins weighs more and has longer arms than Chris Jones. And you see Chris Jones line up all over the place. I'm really hoping that is kind of the blueprint that the 49ers have for him and can use him in a myriad of ways. And, man, look at this. You know, I'm just seeing this come across. Look at Salty. Will Collins signing break the dam for second-round picks? You talked about Shamar Turner. Now on the Twitter sphere, Mike Green, second-round pick, is supposedly they have the deal in place. It's not signed yet. So, yeah, it does seem like he was kind of the trendsetter for that, and I think that's huge. So getting past this wall of second-round picks and just the holdouts and the guaranteed and all that stuff, I'm glad that's starting to get done, and the 49ers kind of did the NFL a favor. So now I want to ask you this, Ant. The NASCAR package, which, you know, Robert Saleh kind of made famous back in 2019, where you go three or four defensive ends out there to pass rush in those third and long situations. Who is kind of your defensive tackle that you want out there? Is Alfred Collins the guy? Would you rather have C.J. West or a Jordan Elliott? Because typically, and you go back to the Jets tape last year, that they would do three defensive ends and one defensive tackle. The defensive tackle for the Jets was number 95, also Quinnen Williams, obviously. What do you want that to look like? Go ahead and personnel the NASCAR package with three defensive ends and a defensive tackle in pass rush situations for the Niners this year.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you look at that NASCAR package, I think you know you're going to have Bryce Huff, Nick Bosa. That's a foregone conclusion. And then after that, it's probably going to be a mixture of Etor Gross Matos or Mikel Williams, depending on how you go after the quarterback. Just, you know, they're probably going to work in Mikel Williams, but I think Etor Gross Matos is going to get a lion's share of those snaps, especially early on in the season. Then after that, I do think you're going to see Jordan Elliott probably early as they look for a veteran to kind of do some of the twists and stunts that they're going to be wanting to do with that sort of a package. You got to be able to move. But I think at some point it is going to be Alfred Collins or C.J. West. And I think Alfred Collins actually makes the most sense. I brought up the batted balls earlier. One of the things that you really want with one of those packages is somebody that can get a push right up the middle and kind of break down that pocket internally. And Alfred Collins is the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest, but he's also got the ability, if he's in the quarterback's face, he's going to get his hands up and he's going to knock the ball down. He's going to make it more difficult, especially for quarterbacks that are a little bit shorter. A guy like Kyler Murray is going to have a real problem getting the ball over a guy like Alfred Collins. So I think at some point, depending on how quickly he adjusts to pass rushing in the NFL, I think it's going to happen pretty quick. I think he's going to figure this thing out, especially if he starts getting some one-on-one situations with Bosa, Huff, and Etor Gross Matos out there rushing. I think he's going to be a problem lateral quickness-wise for guards, but also strength-wise for guards and centers, where they're not going to be able to match him and anchor against him. So eventually it will be him. Maybe four or five games in the season, we start seeing more Alfred Collins out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going back through the tape, and I think it was the Michigan game where they blew him out this year. He had two batted balls that both led to interceptions. He had six batted balls on the year just last year in 2024. Like, the size is immense, and he can win in multiple ways. And Texas did stunt a lot, but sometimes he would get stalemated. He was a two-gapper. 49ers don't do that, so that's going to be a little bit of a transition for him. But there were times where he would stunt and take two offensive linemen and just get his big paws up. Jedi says Collins can bat the ball down better. There's more than one way to affect the passer. Now, yeah, he can get sacks. Yeah, he can get quarterback hits. That's not really the biggest staple in his game, but the Niners are hoping they can develop that. And I do want to see 95 out there because I love his motor. That's one of the fun things is like, man, you watch those two Georgia games where you're playing against mobile quarterbacks. This dude is getting quarterback hits out in the flats, you know, chasing down boots and all that kind of stuff. Like he is an all out. And I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I believe this. This dude's going to be a 49ers fan favorite. You love his energy. He plays with his belly hanging out. Like he ain't fixing his shirt. He's a big dude. And he shows up in the biggest parts of the biggest games. His best games were against Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Now, I'm a Texas guy. And if you were to ask me who the Texas rivals are, like, that's it. That now, Georgia, not necessarily, but, you know, they played the SEC championship. They were kind of the top dogs, whatever else. Like, it's A&M and it's OU. This dude shows up when it matters most in the biggest moments. Now, shout out to Coach Floyd, the Texas Longhorns offensive line coach, Coach Floyd Flood, one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of sports, football, whether it's NFL, whatever, doesn't matter. He was asked about, now he's the O-line coach at Texas. He's coached against this guy for 4 years now. What are your thoughts on Alfred Collins? Dude wrecks practice every day. That's what I say. He just wrecks practice. He makes it very hard to practice our plays because he just disrupts. He just causes problems. So let's talk about Fred Warner. Let's talk about Nick Martin, the young pup. Let's talk about D. Winters, who's supposed to be taking a major step up. Is he the number two or three linebacker? We'll find out. What is the impact Alfred Collins has? You talked about those duo blocks on this linebacking core compared to last year.
Yeah, one of the things it does is it frees up those linebackers to be able to roam free. You know, one of the keys to the zone scheme is getting a lineman to the second level to disrupt linebackers' flow and be able to stop them from getting to where they want to get to. Well, the league's biggest fear is Fred Warner not having somebody around him because he's going to flow and he's going to make a play. And that's going to make it easier for your super fast athletic linebackers like D. Winters, Fred Warner and Nick Martin. And one of the things that we've talked about is a lot of people have worried about the size of Nick Martin, the size of D. Winters, the fact that they are not stack and shed consistent linebackers. But one of the ways you stop that is you get these big physical defensive tackles that are going to occupy blockers up front, make you put two offensive linemen on them just to get some movement, and then allow your linebackers to run free. And when those guys run free, that's when you start making plays at the line of scrimmage. You limit the run game. And that is one of the huge elements that Robert Saleh has brought to this. That was one of the key things that Eric Armstead did well. Occupied blockers made it easier for the linebackers. And that's what they're expecting Alfred Collins, CJ West to do within this defensive scheme. And that's what makes Fred Warner even better. Like Fred Warner is going to be able to do some nasty stuff if they can keep people off of him. And it's not just Alfred Collins and CJ West, but Mikel Williams as well. He's going to occupy an extra tight end. He's going to make it more difficult. So everything is about space and everything is about keeping guys from getting to the second level. And I think Alfred Collins and CJ West and Mikel Williams are going to help those linebackers immensely.
Oh, I freaking love it, man. It's just the 49ers have set up this idea of, look, we have to stop the run. And that's what we're going to be focusing on in this next segment. And when we stop the run, then we get to rush the passer. The trade for Bryce Huff, that kind of helps in that situation. But you don't get to rush the passer if you cannot stop the run. There are no third and longs whenever teams are just running down your throat. Just think about any fourth quarter last year with Nick Sorensen. I don't want to go down. They're going to get me mad, Ant. They're going to get me mad. So that is our next topic. We have a question in the chat, which I'm super excited about. Do you think the 49ers can return to a top five run defense? We're going to get to that next.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
If you want to know how close we are to the NFL season, I had a nightmare last night that I forgot to have my trivia competitions completely made out for my first event. And I was at, I woke up like, I didn't make my trivia competition. Like that's how close we are. And, you know, we're working on details and getting all the specifics out for all those trips. So stay tuned. We're going to get a lot more of those out soon. Now, from Jam 18, they asked, top five rushing defense for the 49ers this year. Now, if we look back at 2024, here are their rushing statistical ranks. Gave up the 18th most rush attempts allowed, 18th most rush yards allowed, 30th most rushing touchdowns. The most rushing touchdowns allowed since the stat was tracked all the way back to like 1999 for the 49ers. Absolutely horrible. And 17th. And yards per rush attempt with 4.4 yards per rush attempt allowed. So I'm going to pose this to you, Ant. Have they done enough to return to a top five rush defense?
I think that's a lot to ask with so many rookies that you got to count on. I think they're doing their best to make sure that they can move up. I don't think top five is out of the question, but I think more top 10 would probably be the most realistic as Alfred Collins and CJ West acclimate as Mikal Williams comes in and sets a firm edge. But my question marks don't just stop with that. Is you also got those linebackers we talked about earlier. D Winters has to take another step forward. The third linebacker, whether that's, you know, Nick Martin or Tatum Bethune or whoever that ends up being, they need to be able to stop the run as well. And so there's some question marks there, but it also trickles into your nickel corner. Who's going to be playing 70% of the snap. Is that going to be Trey Brown? If it is, I'm a little concerned about the run fits a little bit with him. He's not as physical as some of the other guys. Is it, if it Upton Stout? Well, I trust Upton Stout. I know he's small, but this dude is going to come up and smack you. And so I don't have any concerns about him kind of getting used to that. But then it's the safeties as well, because we've seen Jair Brown whiff with a bad angle and the Bills running back take off for a touchdown in that snow game. These are the types of things that you have to have guys hit on. So Jair's going to have to be better. Jason Pinnock's going to have to be better. So I think there's just a lot of question marks right now. I think Robert Saleh is going to put them in the right places to be successful. I think they did a good job of adding key defensive linemen to make this easier for the linebackers. But there's a little bit more that goes into it before you can be a top five defense. If they're a top five rush defense, they're going to win a lot of football games this year. But that's a big question mark right now.
Yeah, I think they'll be top five in some of the categories. I do not believe that they'll be top five in all of the categories, but if you can get back to that yards per rush attempt being a top five and the rushing touchdowns allowed to be in a top five unit, I think you've got a chance. And, you know, it's funny, you brought up Jair Brown. I was watching I think it was like the season's best mic'd up or whatever. I was like struggling, so I turned it on and just had it on and scroll on my phone. And they were doing like a running backs breaking tackle segment. It was like four Jair Brown plays in a row on different running backs. It was just like this dude was on everybody's highlight reel last year. So like one that, and that's another thing that you got to talk about is, man, you're talking about a possible Richie Grant, Pinnock starting safety group. Not that I'm not saying that in a negative way, but that is a complete overhaul. Your top four, you had Huff, who was in and out. You had George Odom, who started early till he got burned in that 97-yard touchdown. And then you had Malik, and then you had Jair Brown. Like, man, those four guys, like, I doubt any of them. Maybe Jair Brown's back week one, but is he a starter? Like, there's a lot of transition, and there's a lot of question marks on this defensive roster. I don't think that we're going to be back to the 2019 or 2021 or even 2020. You know, even with all those injuries, still had a top 10 defense. I don't think they're going to be back there yet. The lack of depth and the reliance on so many rookies. Like you said, it's going to take some growing pains. There's going to be some issues. Those are going to be there. But, you know, if you could start to make some strides, then some good things will come forward. Thomas, he says, I wish I could go to camp. Mikael Williams said he's going to be offended if a tight end tries to block him. 85 going to be right there every time. Iron sharpens iron. That's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, it's kind of a bummer. The 49ers changed the way they do training camp and limited big time, shrink down the amount of people that get to go. Tickets sold out in less than like 5 minutes. And my email has been full of, man, I wanted to go to camp. I wanted to go to camp. I can't get tickets. Nobody can get tickets. So I got a few tickets. And I have to be out of town for a personal thing. So I'm going to be giving some training camp tickets away. So stay tuned. I've got to figure out a way to do that. I think I'll do some on here. No cost. I ain't trying to make no money. And a lot of that has to do with listeners that were very kind and generous, you know. And so they were able to get tickets and they passed them on to me to give away to the faithful. So, Thomas, stay tuned. I got to figure out a way. I just got some this morning to give those away. I'll figure something out. I may not be a smart man, but I could do some giveaways. Yatsik says, is Pinnick good enough to start, Ant, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I think he is. And one of the reasons that I believe he is he was drafted by Robert Saleh in the fifth round, you know, a while back. And Robert Saleh really didn't want to lose him. But we got to remember, Pinnick was drafted as a nickel corner. That's what he played in college. So think about a guy like Marquis Siegel, right? Jason Pinnick is kind of that mold. Yeah, he doesn't have the 4.3 speed, but he was a nickel corner who was going to transition to safety. And Saleh likes these kinds of players. I think that there are some elements to Pinnick's game that's going to make him really translate well to the 49ers. And one of those is the fact Robert Saleh doesn't mind sending a safety on a blitz. Jason Pinnick is the best safety blitzing in the NFL. It wasn't even close last year. This dude makes plays. Just go back and watch his film. He's all over Jaden Daniels all game. And so I think that that's an added element that when you walk him into the box, now all of a sudden an offense has to account for him. And so that could go a long way into helping Nick Bosa get a one-on-one or helping, you know, Etor Gross Matos or Bryce Huff get a one-on-one. So those things play as well. But I think he's got enough coverage skills. I think he's got enough versatility that in the right scheme, and I think this is the right scheme, he's going to play pretty well, and he can play good enough to be a starter in the NFL.
Oh, I like it. Look at this question from Yatsik. Look at it. He's trying to turn 49ers versus 49ers. And I think this is a great question. With Collins now signed, does that make the 49ers defense better than the 49ers offense? In your opinion, heading into camp, now the defense always gets the early, always. It takes a while for the offense to gel. But in your overall assessment, what is the overall better unit, 49ers offense or 49ers defense?
Well, normally I would say offense. And, you know, some of the question marks about wide receiver are going to make it a little bit more difficult for Brock Purdy in that offense, especially if Jawan is holding in or something like that, even in training camp. But during training camp, they're still going to have DeMarcus Robinson. They're still going to have Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. And let's be honest, this offense, especially early in the season, it's going to run through Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. And those two dudes are still some of the best players in the NFL, you know, top five respectively at their position. For George Kittle, he's the best tight end in football. So I do believe the offense is still the better unit right now. And I think that they're going to go out there and it's going to be a fun back and forth at training camp to see these guys compete. Cause I think there's some matchups that do go the defense's way, like Alfred Collins. Anytime that he's lined up in a situation where he gets to pass rush against Jake Brendel, that's a huge advantage for the 49ers. You know, some of the speed at linebacker, that's going to be a key element. That's going to be fun to watch. So I do like some of the matchups for the 49ers, you know, offense versus defense, but also some of the defensive ones versus the offense. And one of the things I think is going to be great all offseason, Dominic Pooney versus Alfred Collins and C.J. West. Those are going to be absolute battles every single day. I think it's going to make Dominic Pooney better. It is going to test those young rookies. I'm excited to see those.
Ah, there's so many fun, just like little matchups and whatever else that we get to see out there. And dude, I am pumped. Just there's so many positive things that are taking place. And like, man, you know, this was number two on my notes today. With Siegel, Marquis Siegel cleared to practice, it definitely helps all rookies will be able to practice at the same time. That's huge too. And so, you know, we're talking about these safeties and look, I think Pinnock is much higher than Richie Grant, but they're both experienced veteran safeties that have started and played a lot of football. Marquis Siegel, you know, one, I don't even know where the hell they're going to play him, because nickel, he can play nickel, he can play free, he can play strong, he can play it all. But, like, this is the guy, Malik Mustafa aside, has the highest ceiling. We've seen kind of the ups and downs of Jair Brown, but Marquis Siegel finally being healthy, where do they play him, and does he have a shot to earn one of those starting roles while Malik and Jair Brown's out? Or is it just veterans early, and then we'll work them in through special teams and get them some playing time?
Well, I think they're prepared for the veterans to be able to go out there and play right away. But make no mistake about it, if Marquis Siegel goes and proves that athleticism is going to translate consistently to playing safety, Marquis Siegel is the absolute kryptonite for all those other guys, because he's more talented physically than every other safety that they have in that room. And he's also the perfect running mate for Malik Mustafa. When you look at the way that those two would play together, it marries skills perfectly. And so I think that's what ultimately the 49ers are looking at. So they want Marquis Siegel to get on the field sooner rather than later, but it is a transition, right? We've seen this with Tauno Hufanga in his rookie season. He got some snaps. Jair Brown, they got him some snaps as they were working him in. Last year, Malik had to come in because of injury. So I expect them to find ways to get Marquis Siegel on the field. I think he's going to practice at safety. I think they're going to let him work in and see what he can do. I expect him to probably be part of the second unit to make sure he gets enough snaps. But I also expect them to see what they could do in some dime situations, getting him on the field as a dime corner, where I think that him being in a slot, again, would be very beneficial for the 49ers with his speed and his coverage ability. He's better than some of the other safeties with that. Now, Pinnock can do that role as well, but I don't think he has the hips to turn and run the way that Siegel does. So I'm excited to see him in that element. How quickly he picks up this defense is going to determine how much more they give him. But if he picks it up like they're saying he's going to because of his football acumen, I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he's got a shot, but I still think it's going to be the veterans early, and then eventually Marquis Siegel will carve out a role for the 49ers.
Man, how fun would it be to do some NASCAR up front and then some dime on the back end? Like, you got your two, probably going to be D winners and, you know, Fred Warner out there as your two backers in coverage spots. Eventually, you know, obviously Nick Martin, but D Winters is kind of the coverage guy. That's kind of his specialty. You got those two guys, five defensive backs, or you could even do just Fred Warner and six, you know, that dime package you're talking about. Man, you do some fun things. Imagine that. Three defensive ends, one defensive tackle, one linebacker, six DBs. Like, you could do some of that stuff. I don't know if they will. And, you know, with Robert Saleh first year back, is he going to go over simplistic early and, you know, whatever else? I don't know. But there's, you've got the personnel for it. Why not? Why not? It's going to be fun. I can't wait to get out there and see, are they practicing the five defensive line sets? You know, are they going through some of that stuff? Oh, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time out there. Look at this. All right. How about this one from Lori? Who has the biggest impact? You got Alfred Collins or the first-round pick, Mikael Williams. You throw in West, too. Love his attitude. In your opinion, who has the biggest impact this year?
I think it's going to be Collins. I do believe that Mikael Williams is going to make a significant impact as well. But I think that Collins is going to make such an impact on first and second down. And I think that that's going to change the whole aspect of third down. Right now, if they can get to third and seven plus, they are going to be trouble for quarterbacks in opposing offenses, and they've got to earn the right to rush the passer. And they haven't done that over the last couple of years consistently. Alfred Collins and CJ West are going to give them and afford them that. And I know Mikael Williams is too, but it's a little bit of a different element because the struggle has really been last year up the middle. I know in years past with Steve Wilks, it was more outside. A lot of that was the alley defender. But with this, I think it's going to be the interior. So Alfred Collins and CJ West are going to be big, but I think Collins is going to make the biggest impact early stopping the run. And that's going to allow Mikael Williams to have some opportunities to rush the passer, which I think he'll do pretty well at as well.
Oh, I like that. So if we stick with this, we got a bunch of questions because I love this, man. The Niners like chat right now, like people are hungry and they're ready for I'm pumped, man. And I can tell the numbers are pretty high on this episode compared to what we've been doing. And so I just want to say thank you, guys. And, man, glad to have back. Love these questions. And I've got a ridiculous amount of notes here. I don't want to get to them because I want to get to y'all's stuff. And so I've got a bunch of questions tagged right here. Yatsik, which defensive starter do you consider the weakest link?
I'm going to go with safety. I don't know who that starter is going to be, but I'm guessing as of right now, Jair Brown could be that starting safety. And I just don't know which Jair Brown we're getting. Are we getting the end of his rookie season, Steve Wilkes, Jair Brown, who had some good plays, he had some negatives, but it was looking positive? Or are we getting the Nick Sorensen version? So that is probably my biggest question mark for this defense, is that safety position. And I believe once that's answered, whether that's Richie Grant or maybe Jair's just better playing for Robert Saleh, which I believe he will be, then I think that we'll start answering some of those questions. I think safety, nickel corner, especially if it's not Upton Stout, that's another concern I have. But I think that those are the two biggest concerns for me for the defense.
Yeah, I really want C.J. West and Alfred Collins to be the starting defensive tackles. I just don't think that's the way they're going to roll. I think Jordan Elliott's going to be out there starting, and that would be my – if we're talking starters defensively, Jordan Elliott would be by far – I would have cut Jordan Elliott and kept Malik Collins, but that's okay. That's not the way Kusarik rolls, and that's okay. Like, I do think that Jordan Elliott's a decent NFL player. My problem is the lack of consistency. He'll have four negative plays and one highlight reel play right after that. And it's just, that's not my coaching. That's not my philosophy. That's not my MO with how I want to handle things. I believe consistency is the truest measure of greatness. And I want people that can do it down in, down out. I would wipe away that highlight reel tackle for loss for just not getting thrown 5 yards backwards and turned around and facing your linebacker against a double team. That's just not what I want. So now we've got a lot more good questions. I'm excited. This episode's not done, but if you're going to any games this year or any event period, you got to use TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, shout out to Joe. He's got his two Seattle party tickets. I love it, man. Come party with us. I'm pumped. Look at this hot take from Tommy. His hot take, and a lot of people are still really, really high on C.J. West, and there's no issues with that. And you, look, just because you like C.J. West doesn't mean you don't have to like Alfred Collins or vice versa. The Niners liked them both. The difference between C.J. West is he just doesn't have the measurables. He's got the attitude, the passion, all those things, the effort, whatever. He's just 30 pounds smaller, 4 inches shorter, with 3-inch shorter arm. Like, he just doesn't have those kind of blue chip measurable. That's why he went in the fourth round. But Tommy says C.J. West goes to the second team All-Pro. That is spicy, my friend. Talk to me about C.J. West. I don't want to leave him out too much. What are your thoughts on him having an All-Pro type season?
You know, I hope he has an All-Pro season. I think it's really hard for a rookie to have an All-Pro season. Just look at Dominic Pooney. He was so good last year, but we all knew that, you know, it was going to be really hard for him to be in All-Pro. And I think it's going to be difficult for C.J. West as well. I think he's going to be a rotational piece. Earlier, we talked about Jordan Elliott probably starting the season. I think that's probably what they're going to do. But I think at some point, we're going to see C.J. West start really making plays this season. And if ever there was a guy, and we hear this every year from Chris Kocurek, this guy reminds me of D.J. Jones, right? If there was a guy that reminded him of D.J. Jones, it would have to be C.J. West, with the way that he is so powerful, the way he moves. He has pass rush upside, a lot more athletic ability than most of the defensive tackles that they've put in that category. What I like about him compared to even a guy like Kalia Davis, who they said that about before, is he's got a really good bottom half as well. Kalia Davis was very top heavy, so he'd lose balance. That doesn't happen for CJ West. Great balance, great athleticism, can really move. So I like him a lot. And I think he's a really good fit with Alfred Collins. I think eventually those two playing together put CJ West at the one tech, put Alfred Collins at the three tech. And as long as these dudes can show that they have the upside to rush the passer, they're going to be a good group together. So I kind of like this idea of getting two different types of players that have worked for you in the past, the big, tall, long guy, but also the shorter guy who wins with leverage and size and balance. And I think that that's what CJ West can do.
Oh, he's such a fun player, man. It's such a fun dude. Jam 18. Hopefully Robert Saleh will blitz a little bit more with these new defensive tackles on the line, kind of generate some pass rush pressure. And like, look, you talk about Nick Martin, that dude's a blitzer. Like Fred Warner can blitz, but I don't really like blitzing a lot of Fred Warner because he's the best coverage linebacker in the history of the league. So like every now and then, for sure, especially when they do those show blitzes, you know, that Robert Saleh did in New York as well, where they walk both linebackers up into the A gap. And then traditionally they fall back into their zone drops. But man, I want some nickel blitzes. If you got CJ Stroud, Upton Stout out there, like that dude could blitz. Like you've got guys, Diamador Lenore can blitz. Renardo Green can blitz. Tatum Bethune, if he's getting rotated, like he can blitz. Like you have guys, safeties can blitz. And so I want more of that, right? Like I want to blitz a safety. I want to blitz a nickel. I want to blitz an outside corner. Saleh's not typically known for that though.
No, he's not. But we've seen him do it some against Russell Wilson, right? A lot of times when he was in Seattle, Robert Saleh would bring those blitzes off the edge to get him moving left. And I think that that's one of the things he can do is sometimes go ahead and bring a blitz. And Robert Saleh blitzes a little bit more when it's not like third and long, when it's like third and medium. Those are the times he likes to blitz and get out of the quarterback's hands really quickly, make him make a quick decision. And I think that they did make a effort to add in guys that do it well, right? You have D Winters, he can blitz, but you had guys that you brought in that can do it. Upton Stout that you talked about, Jason Pennick, who I think is the best blitzing safety in the NFL right now. And then you've got, like you said, the corner. So the fact that you have the bodies that can do it, it means you can get unique. And I think with the NASCAR package combined with a dime package that we talked about earlier, you can get a lot of athletic guys moving around the line of scrimmage very quickly. And I think it could cause some real problems for offensive lines and some of the offensive schemes figuring out who's coming from where. So I don't think it'll be very much. It's probably going to be 9 or 10% of the time that Robert Saleh blitzes. What you're hoping is when he does it, it absolutely hits and ends drives. And I think that's what the 49ers are thinking, because it's all about getting off the field on third down. That's one of the keys to how they built this defense.
Yeah, yeah, well said. Look at this, David Gill, stud. He says, if you purchase a rookie player jersey this season, who would it be? This is a struggle for me because I always get the linebacker jerseys. Like I've got Willis, Bowman, Warner, Greenlaw. I still got the Greenlaw one. You know, that hurts. So like seeing Nick Martin out there wearing jersey number 45 in the past 3 years, when I see 45 out there, I'm just like, oh no. Like it's like, oh my gosh, please don't do it. But, you know, my initial response was 95. I'm a Longhorn. I'm a Niner. Alfred Collins was really high on my board. And you could say the same thing for 95. It's been Kentavious Streets, Drake Jackson. Like, it's been some rough ones. And so one of those two would be mine. But, man, I always go linebacker. I played linebacker. I like those numbers. Yeah, so mine would be Alfred Collins or Nick Martin, the linebacker, personally. But I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My jerseys are kind of all over the place with who I have. Luckily, most of them are still on the team. But I think I would go with Upton Stout, I think. I don't know. There's something about Upton Stout that makes me just think this dude he's going to be, yeah. And I love that aggression, that attitude. And everyone talks about his size, but the dude just plays so hard. And I just got a lot of belief in Upton Stout. And I think he's going to become a fan favorite. Because of the way he plays and the way that he sticks people, kind of the way the Shark was. A lot of people really love Shark because of the way he played. And Upton Stout is more physical than K'Wan Williams. So I think that that's going to be a lot of fun. I think he's going to be fun. But a lot of times, I got to be honest, I look at jersey numbers and that determines. So once the rookies officially make the team, a lot of them will change their jersey numbers and all that. And so we'll see what happens. If it's a cool jersey number, I would probably go with Upton Stout.
There we go. There we go. Right here. Salty question for you both. With all the emphasis on special teams, help or hurt the Niners this year? I got to say, like, you got to look at the past. Special teams has cost the 49ers multiple games, multiple years in a row, and it's just been on a constant downtrend since Kyle Shanahan showed up. Again, I just talked about 45. Like, the fact that you paid DFF $2.2 fully million dollars guaranteed, he hasn't been a good special teams player for back-to-back years. I love all the emphasis. Guys like Luke Gifford, man. And talk about the safeties. Go get Thomas Morstead, who, yeah, he's one of the oldest players in the NFL. His yards per punt has gone up. You know what I mean? And so I think you get a better punter. I think you got a better long snapper. You've got about 3 to 4 special teams aces now instead of guys that were just special teams players that were designated that were actually hindrances. And you finally have a coordinator that knows what the hell they're doing. So I think it's going to be a huge positive, and it can't get worse. Can't go down from down.
No, and I think that's one of the keys. I love the emphasis that they're putting on special teams. It's the forgotten third of the game, you know, and that was one of the things that Jim Harbaugh brought to San Francisco was that focus on special teams. And that 2011-2012 team was really good on special teams, and that's part of the reason that team was so special. And the conversations about complementary football really became something the league talked about because of Jim Harbaugh. And I think that Kyle Shanahan finally got the right guy at the helm. And Brant Boyer is doing everything he can to insulate Jake Moody as well, right? Gets a long snapper, gets a new punter, a new holder. He's making sure Jake Moody can be the most successful. But they didn't stop there. It's all about field position. So we got to get better returners. We got to make sure we're doing things there. We've got to have guys who can make tackles, gunners. Focus on every single element they needed to get better at. I think Robert Saleh and Brant Boyer took a very good look at this team and overview, and they decided, hey, we need to improve here, 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 and here. And I got to give credit to John Lynch in that front office. They scouted well, and they went and got these guys they felt could make a big difference. Get those guys, and I think they did a really good job.
Tony Montana. Oh, I freaking love it, man. The Tony Montana squad, let's go. It was an attitude to set the tone. And, man, like, the crowd went freaking bonkers every single time that stuff took place. I loved it. Look at Boats. Did you see the Drew Moss news? Didn't know that was such a big deal. I thought it was awesome. He got married to Brock Lesnar's daughter. And, man, I saw a couple tweets like, man, recruiters, set your calendar to 18 years from now. Whoever, that is impressive. The offspring is going to be pretty impressive. We need those genetics, man. That is a big deal. So, yeah, if you don't know, undrafted free agent Drew Moss, got married to Brock Lesnar's daughter. And so that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, and now you got the Beast incarnate as a father-in-law. Like, are you kidding me? Imagine. You got to give credit to Drew Moss. Like, this dude's got to just be wicked tough, like, not afraid to look at Brock Lesnar and be like, I'm going to treat your daughter right. Not to mention, I think the daughter might be able to take him. She's crazy good athlete.
Yeah.
Crazy good athlete. And so, yeah, that's an interesting combination there. I saw that. I was like, all right, there you go. That's going to be fun. Drew Moss, man, you got stones. I love it. Let's see what you do at training camp now. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
That was cool. Yacek right here. Do you think that the trust Saleh has, you know, to run the defense will allow Kyle to go deeper in his offense and play back more often? Here's the difference. Last season, you had to be up 13 points in the fourth quarter to have a chance to win the game. If you were up by 10, and the 49ers up by 10 in the fourth quarter is like the worst sentence in the world. But, like, last season was just, like, you had to be up over 13. We lost games where we were up 13 points in the fourth quarter to division rivals. Now knowing, like, look, we could chill out. We can run the ball. We don't have to always score in the fourth quarter. It could be more of a tempo, control the clock. Shanahan loves that six-minute offense more than almost any offensive coordinator out there. So that's where I think the biggest – like, you get to relax a little bit in the fourth quarter. You don't have to be so high strung and like, okay, well, we're at least going to give up 2 touchdowns this quarter because Nick Sorensen's calling the defense. He's never, like, literally last in the NFL fourth quarter scoring. I think that's where things are going to kind of level out and help the offense a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I think Kyle Shanahan wants to kind of get back to play action. I think he really wants to get back to running the football consistently with Christian McCaffrey, you know, using a lot of the clock, making it easier on the defense. And I talked about complementary football. That was one of the things that they were missing last year was they threw the ball a lot more last year, a lot more 11 personnel. I think early in the season, it's probably going to be a return to more 21, more 12 personnel as they've added a tight end. They went with Kyle Juszczyk again. Get that play action going. And it was interesting. Matt Ryan had some comments earlier this week where he talked about Purdy's ability to throw on the run. And a lot of people, you know, not really picking up on the fact he's talking about play action. Because one of the ways you can really help your team is to move defenders horizontally. And one way you do that is by getting play action and moving the pocket, helps your offensive line, will help those wide receivers find space to be able to catch the football. And so I think Kyle Shanahan can engineer some offense, and I think a return to that's going to be a huge element. But the Christian McCaffrey effect on that is part of the reason why linebackers are going to bite and linebackers are going to move, and that's going to create the middle of the field to be open. And Kittle and McCaffrey are going to have to carry this team early, is depending on what happens with Juwan. Juwan can make some plays, but I do think it's going to run through those guys, and play action is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, I really like the way that you kind of outline that, because it's like, yeah, some things got to change. I want bigger people on the field. 21, 12 personnel, less wide receiver, especially whenever you look at, okay, Ayuk's injured. When is DeMarcus Robinson going to be suspended? Juwan Jennings, I think, is going to be out there. But, like, still, that's not the strength of your team. Maybe when you're at full strength, cool, you could do some more 11 personnel. But if we look, historically speaking, during Shanahan's tenure, the least 11 personnel of anybody in the league. Besides last year. Last year was kind of the deviation, but there were so many injuries everywhere. You didn't have a tight end too. Christian McCaffrey was hurt. Jordan Mason got hurt, you know, other times. Couldn't trust running backs. It was rough. So I understood it last year. But now, man, go back. Just the threat of running the football changes coverage. And whenever you're in those empty damn personnels, I lose my mind. I know Brock Purdy loves them. When the 49ers go empty, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what the hell are we doing here? It's not my thing. It's just not my thing. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm excited. Nothing but positive things. I'm pumped. Alfred Collins got signed. Everybody signed on the 49ers. The entire roster. Juwan Jennings a little upset, but he is signed. I'm just like, woosah. All right. Positive vibes. Let's keep it going. Excited for actual training camp. We should start to get some rookie clips out soon because the practices are about to start up for them, running through individual drills, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be fun. Just getting a little extra work for those guys. So, Ant, real quick, what's on the agenda this week? 49ers cutback. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you doing? Get over there, type it in wherever you watch in or listen to your content. What else you got coming up?
Yeah, I've been working on the training camp battles, just going through each position and talking about the battles that are going to happen. And wide receivers came out yesterday, and I still got other ones to work on. I'm even going to put out a special teams one because I do think special teams is going to be interesting. Some of the return question marks, some of the gunners, the linebackers who are going to be competing. So, yeah, I'm going to keep putting those out until we get to training camp. I think it's a good time to talk about those battles because there's some real ones happening. There are positions up for grabs for the 49ers.
Oh. It's going to be huge. No position is safe, not even the long snapper, man. They are turning over tables, and it's deserved. It is needed. It needs to be a meritocracy everywhere. Oh, I'm excited. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Excited, and when you have downtime, type in Alfred Collins verse or Alfred Collins highlights. Watch them, smile, and get excited about stuffing the run on first and second down because it's been a while since we do it. Ant, thank you so much for all you do for the community and for everybody else. Stay strong, faithful.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.